our next guest joined a panel of experts recently to discuss calls for change with police accountability in the upcoming special session. Now, we've heard a lot from the Democrats on the need for sweeping change on policing. GOP leaders say they want to seek a bipartisan solution on all of these issues. Will the parties be able to see eye to eye on any of these changes? And what exactly are these changes? What would that entail? We got to ask our next guest, who is Senator George Logan. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself, my friend?
Doing well. Hope you and all your listeners are doing well on this Monday morning.
Yeah, you know, not too bad for a Monday, huh?
That's right.
Let me ask you. I'm reading this about some of the changes for policing. Well, that's pretty vague. What do you know specifically what the changes that each party is seeking and where they can meet in the middle in a bipartisan manner?
Well, when you take a look at the Democrat leadership, particularly the Senate, they're looking for far-sweeping changes, and they're also, you know, pulling in other issues surrounding police reform or things that lead up to police reform, like disparities in health care and education and housing issues, those sort of things. So they're taking a much more broader look at it. I think for special session, which is short, if it is going to come up as a priority item, I think we should be more specific in terms of actual police reform and look at things really more to accountability and transparency type issues and focus on those. I repeatedly tell folks that Connecticut and our communities here, we're not Minneapolis, we're not Ferguson, we're not Baltimore, we're not even New York City. Policing here in Connecticut is in a different category situation. We have been working hard here in Connecticut to improve policing and improve community policing in terms of communications. There's certainly room for improvement, but we have been taking steps here in Connecticut. Just last year, we passed in a bipartisan manner in the Senate a bill, Senate Bill 380, which increased and improved police accountability and transparency. We created a task force to look at these issues. We increased the role of reporting by police departments throughout Connecticut if they use procedures like chokeholds or excessive force that leads to injury. We implemented that last year, that as far as passing the law, that went into effect this year. So we're doing a lot here in Connecticut, and there's always room for improvement. But, our law enforcement officers in Connecticut, our police departments in Connecticut work at a very high level. They are very conscientious and take their role of, enforcing the law in a fair manner. They take it very seriously, and they put their lives on the line every day. So mm-hmm. I'm certainly in favor of making reforms to police to make it better. I think there's an issue with, in Connecticut, with identifying and actually doing something about those very, few minority of, bad actors, police officers, right? Because just like in any profession, you're going to find folks that are just terrible at doing their jobs. And there are certainly, I can imagine, some folks in Connecticut law enforcement that, perhaps they started off with the right frame of mind, but maybe over time they lost their way in terms of losing their perspective and objective in helping people. So those folks need to be identified. But there's issues in Connecticut related to, for example, union contracts, police union contracts, that makes it difficult for police chiefs or chief elected officials in towns to to remove those bad police officers. So we should focus on those kinds of things. But I don't want to lose sight in the fact that the vast majority of police officers in Connecticut are very good, very compassionate, very empathetic, and take their jobs to protect our lives very seriously.
You mentioned SB 380 from 2019 and the task force that was created in the bill. Do you know if that task force has met?
I know they met once in January, and then once the pandemic hit, yeah, and it kind of slowed everything down. But I believe they met again in June. I'm not on that task force specifically. I know they were looking at certain recommendations. It's pretty much it's led by the Democrat majority in the legislature. So I know, for example, Senator Winfield plays a big role in that, and I believe that their recommendations, their couple meetings that they had, played into some of those recommendations that the Senate Democrats. I know they had their big press conference a couple weeks back. I think it played into that role as well.
We've had conversations on this show about, you know, what can occur, what people would like to see. And I think it's pretty bipartisan in creating an oversight board. The problem is the unions that you just referenced a moment ago, and that, you know, you would have to have the union leadership agree to that. And it doesn't look like that would occur.
This seemed like a problem issue, and at least not to occur, may not occur that quickly. So I'm not, you know, 100% sure what we as a legislature can do or are willing to do in terms of those, you know, union contracts. That's a bit of a big, you know, deal, to try to affect those contracts. Not, entirely sure. I'm not a lawyer, not an attorney, in terms of the legislature's or the state's ability to supersede or override those existing contracts. So, you know, also, I don't think the Democrat leadership in Connecticut, you know, really has the stomach to put up of any sort of fight with the unions, whether it's the police union or teacher unions or other state union unions. You know, that's their sort of their base, and they know if they upset the unions, even if it's police, if you upset police union, it's going to upset other union trades as well, because they're going to see it as something that they don't want to give an inch to, because they believe it'll lead to requiring other changes in other contracts that they don't want to, they'd rather not get into. And the majority party in Connecticut feels that these unions are their base, and during an election year, I'm pretty sure that they don't want to risk any of their.
No, you're right, but I mean, I know Senator Gary Winfield probably not as well as you do, because you being in the Senate, but I know Representative Brandon McGee as well, and they're pretty passionate as far as creating this oversight board.
Yeah,
so I mean, and they're both Democrats too, but I really think that they would be in favor of cracking open that, you know, that agreement and creating an oversight board.
Well, I'm certainly in favor of looking into creating an oversight board. I mean, obviously the details of that oversight board, who's going to be on it, you know, what powers are going to have is very important. And I think that will play a role in attempting to get some sort of a, you know, compromise with union police union leadership in terms of those contracts. You know, there are many, many other legislators, right, other than Winfield and McGee that would have to come on board. And I think the Democrat leadership and the Republican leadership, because you really haven't really gotten together to, you know, hash out or discuss where they have the similarities and what they're looking to do. You know, there's even been comments on the Democrat side that they want something to go, you know, get pushed through quickly, and there may not be time for, you know, bipartisanship and doing it. I mean, I heard, you know, them say that, you know, so that's a problem. I don't think you're going to be able to get anything through in a short.
Well, okay, and I'm glad you bring that up, Senator, because that's the issue that I have. It's like, you know, the special session, from my understanding, is created for emergencies, particularly when it comes to the budget, and there not being enough time in the course of the regular session, because by statute you have to gavel out if it's the long session by midnight the first Wednesday of June, and the short session, which is this year, the first Wednesday in May. Of course, then we had the coronavirus pandemic, and that just threw a wrench in the whole thing, where it seems like all the work that may have been accomplished in February in the first week or so of March kind of got tossed onto the wayside. But that predated all this uproar with policing. Anyhow, and I'm not even sure there was any legislation on the table, at least in the committee process, even, you know, back in those months. So let me just come full circle with this statement, and that is,
sure,
I'm thinking, and I listen, if we to create an oversight board is you know really makes sense, particularly when there are officers who've had you know a half a dozen, if not a dozen, or God forbid that guy in Minneapolis, 18. I mean, accounts against him. You know, this is a guy who probably should have been out of the department years ago.
And he was training Rick, and he was training
yeah,
new officers.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Right. Talk about the wrong field training officer. You know, so I think we, my goodness, it's not even a political issue. It's common sense. I think we can all agree that that should never occur in Minneapolis or any other spot in our country. So, I'm not opposed to the oversight board. Again, you'd have to look at the language, and the devil's always in the details, as you and I both know.
Absolutely.
My concern is, though, that's not the purpose of a special session. In other words, there would not be a public hearing in a special session. Let it have due process, and let's hear from the unions. Let's hear from chiefs of police. Let's hear from rank and file of police officers.
And let's hear from the public.
And let's hear from the public. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Agreed. And we shouldn't have, you know, one small group of individuals or one small group of legislators, putting together and putting forth and pushing through the legislature such, you know, sweeping police reform in Connecticut. It has to be thought out. The details do matter. And, you know, this is something that could have, you know, most likely have a lasting effect into the future. So if we're looking at doing something in such a permanent way, we need to make sure that we include, you know, all the voices so that we get this right. Because if we don't, we could have unintended consequences, and you could make the situation worse if we do something in a sort of, quick knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. No, I not only do I agree with you, just listening to our listeners who've called in, over the last several weeks, I think people would agree with you. Do you ever, as an African-American legislator, senator, and a Republican to boot, do you ever get caught into the or kind of sucked into the fray between Black Lives Matters and Blue Lives Matters?
No, in terms of, I feel, pretty confident in terms of being an African American, and I feel pretty confident about being a legislator, you know, representing folks in my district and supporting our local and state law enforcement. I don't see any issue there at all. I think, first of all, I think all lives matter. So I'm out here looking to represent everyone who lives in my district.
Sure.
And, law enforcement, I mean, these folks are out there risking their lives every day to, enforce the law, to keep us safe. So I absolutely support our law enforcement officers here in Connecticut.
I don't
see any problem or
well, there shouldn't be
supporting the two, right?
There exactly. Shouldn't be, but there is. You and I both know it does exist in the communications that you've had as a senator. Sure. You've got a far wider range than I ever did as a state rep, where mine was a lot smaller, where yours. Oh my goodness! You, how many towns are do you represent?
Seven towns.
Yeah, okay.
Towns, yes.
You must have had, especially in everything that's going on nationally in our regarding policing. You must have had some communication with chiefs of police in your district. What are they requesting?
No, absolutely. Most of the chiefs of police, they're requesting dialogue. They're requesting further dialogue. They want to continue to communicate with folks, because the issue here is we need to make sure that all of our residents, in Connecticut, feel comfortable and confident that the police are there to serve them and to protect them. And there certainly is a segment of our population who perhaps doesn't feel that way. So that's what we need to, focus on, and we need to make whatever necessary changes, appropriate changes, that will help to instill more, confidence in law enforcement in Connecticut. And those are the kinds of issues that I focus on. I think a lot of it oftentimes has to do with communicating and both sides, seeing the other's view and perspective. And again, making those changes where appropriate to, move the needle, if you will, forward in terms of improving policing, improving community policing, so that everyone feels that the police are there to serve them, because that's what the police are here to do in Connecticut, right? To protect them.
Absolutely.
And that's what I try to focus on, because certainly there is more work that needs to be done in that area. And if it means making legislative changes to help move that forward, I am all for it. And we just need to do it in a responsible, practical manner to make sure that the intended results are achieved. Mm. And that we don't have any, you know, unintended consequences that will can take, you know, a while to unravel. So
I agree. We're speaking with State Senator George Logan, and it is those unintended consequences that sometimes, if the bill doesn't have the proper language, those unintended consequences can occur. However, as a state senator, could you realistically bring leadership of the Black Lives Matter movement here in Connecticut and the chiefs of police in the district that you represent in the Senate? Would you be able to facilitate that as a state senator and maybe bring the leadership on both sides to the same table and maybe begin that dialogue?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends, because my focus is not on the political organization Black Lives Matter, right? My focus is on the people in my district, in my community. I see the organization Black Lives Matter as a political organization.
Well, it is.
I'm trying to bring the people in the community together. So to me, it involves many different organizations and walks of life, and not just that one organization.
You bring up it, and that's very interesting, Senator, because not many people realize that the Black Lives Matter is a political organization. I'm live on the airwaves a week or so ago.
Yes.
We pulled up the BLM website.
Yes.
And we hit donate, and it took us to a PAC for the Democrat Party.
That's correct. There's no question about it. And that's perfectly fine. As a political organization, they can support
right.
You know, whatever candidates they want, whatever causes they want. But we need to understand, as an elected official, my role is not to, support the, political objectives of any, political organizations. I'm here to represent the people of my district, and I'm interested in pulling people together. If it includes, members or leadership of the Black Lives Matter political organization, that's fine. But I'm not interested in setting up exclusive meetings to enact changes, legislative changes, with that one political organization. I want to bring all parties at the table, including that political organization, to have discussions and move the way forward. And that's why I think public hearings are necessary.
Yeah.
That's why I think more meetings are necessary, because if you just allow one small group of individuals or just a couple organizations to make such requested sweeping legislation, it's going to be problematic for the vast majority of the folks in Connecticut. And we need to make sure, as state legislators, that we keep the interests of everyone in our state in mind whenever we make any significant changes to legislation, and especially when it involves law enforcement in our state. We need to make sure that our neighborhoods remain safe, mm-hmm. and that we're able to police and keep law and order. And that's also something that we need to make sure that we don't let.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And let's just hope that the unions will come to the table willing to play ball. We got to let you go. And thanks for being with us. You are always
good talking to you.
So enlightening. It's my pleasure. Thanks for being with us. We're going to take a break. Come back to your call. Stick around.